It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Are you ready to tackle a controversy with me today? A sensitive issue, sore spot, one that stirs up all kinds of feelings. Hope so. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Now, before I tell you about the controversy, let me tell you that right now in my studio, I've got the lights dimmed. It was a choice of that or else looking a bit like a Darth Vader type of character. I'm no Star Wars expert, but I had one of those visors on under my glasses. I had an eye exam earlier today, hadn't had one for a few years. And if you ever gotten your eyes dilated, it's pretty bright out. And even in a brightly lit room, it was a little too bright. So I just came up with the brainstorm of rather than broadcasting with a visor over my eyes, I dim the lights a little, but you can't tell because it's radio. All right. If you listen to this show regularly, you know that this is not a conservative right-wing talk radio show. This is a biblically-based, Christian-based, following-Jesus-based program with a kingdom orientation. So when we touch on political issues, we don't touch on them from a Republican or Democrat viewpoint. We don't touch on them even primarily from a conservative liberal viewpoint as much as from a biblical viewpoint as much as possible. And all of you have been listening to me since we've been on the air in this, in the areas where you're listening to me. You know that I was surprised during the presidential primaries a couple years back when I took issue with some positions of then Senator Obama. You know, I was surprised when some people called in and said, "What do you have to bring up race for?" I said, "Race? What are you talking about? Who's bringing up race? Why do I always have to bash Obama?" I said, I don't always bash Obama. In fact, I pointed out that the first comment I made taking issue with a candidate was with John McCain. And I also pointed out that there were black candidates whose positions I supported and agreed with. And there were female candidates whose position I supported and agreed with, whereas I differed with Hillary Clinton. So it wasn't a male-female issue. It wasn't a black-white issue. The issues were the issues. I said, race is not the issue. The issues are the issues. But I saw that there was a lot of sensitivity over this. I'm not saying this critically. And therefore, I wanted to step back and try to be as constructive as I could when addressing things. And if you've heard me speak of our president, I speak of him with respect for his office. I speak with joy that we have a black family in the White House. And I pray that he'll be the greatest president we've ever had in our history. I mean that from my heart. I would be thrilled if that prayer was answered. Trust me, I would be thrilled. But I have grave concerns over many of his policies and over the direction in which the country is going. But I don't talk about it that much on the radio. It's only when an issue comes up that I feel is kingdom significant, then I talk about it. And in fact, many times if I know the conservative talk hosts are going to hit on something and smash it, I'll just avoid it. I won't even talk about it because we've got other things to talk about. But I'm really disturbed over something. I want to address it. I want to talk to you about it. I want to get your feedback. 866-34-TRUTH. It is a recent statement that the president made that's getting a lot of play. And I'll interact with it, but I'll tell you what really disturbs me. And I want to address this head on. All right? So let's listen to President Obama's recent statement.
Hello, everybody. Today I'd like to talk with you about the important role each of us will play in 2010, a role that began more than 3 years ago when we set out on an incredible journey to change this country for the better. Despite the challenges we inherited, we've made great progress. When I took office, our economy was in crisis. Our standing in the world was diminished. Our healthcare system wasn't working for far too many American families. Many people wondered why it seemed like bad behavior on Wall Street was being rewarded, while hard work on Main Street wasn't.
All right, let me just jump in and say, of course, I completely differ with the concept that the economy has been turned around, or that America's international standing has been turned around, or that we now have this wonderful health care bill that's been passed that's going to help so many people. Of course, I differ with all that, but that's not enough to get me to raise it here on the radio. Well, let me play some more, and then I'll talk to you.
Because of you, we are making the change that our nation so desperately needs. We've passed historic health reform legislation. We've put our nation back on the path to prosperity with the Recovery Act.
All right, nonsense, but let me let it keep going.
But despite everything we've done, our work isn't finished. Today, the health insurance companies, the Wall Street banks, and the special interests who have ruled Washington for too long are already focused on November's congressional elections.
All right. What concerns me there is the divisiveness of this statement. Suddenly, it's your average American against these, quote, special interest groups, insurance companies, Wall Street. So that concerns me, the divisive nature of that and the effect it had. Remember, this is our president speaking. He's supposed to be a voice of unity. We're not talking about a political campaign here. We're talking about our president speaking. But what really concerns me, and the reason I bring it up on the radio, is what comes next.
They see these elections as a chance to put their allies back in power and to undo all that we've accomplished. So this year, I need your help once more. A few months ago, we asked you to help us set our priorities for 2010 and tell us how you thought we could win elections at all levels of government. You told us your first priority was to make sure the same people who were inspired to vote for the first time in 2008 go back to the polls in 2010. So that's what we're going to do. This year, we're going to reconnect with voters like Claudia Schultz.
All right, so let me point out this is a blatant appeal for Democratic voters coming from the president as opposed to a call for unity in the nation. But what really concerns me is what is still coming. Please listen carefully.
At 29 years old, Claudia had never been involved in the political process because she didn't think one person could make a difference. But in 2008, Claudia joined millions of other supporters like you and made her first ever trip to the polls. In 2010, it will be up to each of you to ask folks like Claudia to stay involved and to explain why this year the stakes are higher than ever. It will be up to each of you to make sure that the young people, African Americans, Latinos, and women who powered our victory in 2008 stand together once again.
Whoa. Friends, that is outrageous. That is the President of the United States playing the race card. That is divisive. That is wrong. Making a specific appeal to young voters, okay? Why? Because the young voters voted primarily Democratic. And then naming by name, come on, Hispanics? African-Americans and women, this is a specific appeal for Democratic voters so that the Democrats do not have a massive landslide go against them this coming fall, because the nation as a whole, as polls indicate, are very unhappy with the way the administration is going. The Democratic-run Congress, Senate, and the Democratic-run White House. People are upset with the way things are going. But what upsets me is not what I believe is bogus statements about how the nation is going. Because that's a politician is going to say that. Okay, I can't remember a politician saying things that were going to make him or his party or her party look bad. They're going to put a certain slant on things, a spin on things. Okay, to me it's just bogus, false, fine. That's not the issue. But the race card's being played. And I want to urge you, if you're in any of those categories, a young person, so this is a generational card that's being pulled, a woman, so this is a gender card that's being pulled, or Hispanic or Hispanic, Latino, African American, that's a race card being pulled. I want to urge you not to be pulled in by this and to recognize that this is divisive and to work against it. Can you imagine If former President Bush got up when he was president, and maybe it was midterm elections, and he got up and said, I want to urge you to get out and vote so that we can preserve the victories that we won 2 years ago. I want to urge in particular all white men in America, or I want to urge all the whites in particular to get out and vote. Can you imagine what a slap that would be at other races in America? Could you imagine what a gender slap that would be? This is absolutely wrong, divisive, no excuse for it. And I want to urge you, as followers of Jesus in particular, don't let the race card be pulled on you. Now, if you want to defend the president, or if you want to agree with me, I'll start taking calls on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What do you think about our president's comments and my comments on his comments? Back with more. Back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got a few interesting and important updates to give you, excuse me, but I want to talk through this issue of the President of the United States playing a gender card, a generational card, and a race card by asking in particular that young voters would come out and vote as they did in 2008. That women would vote as they did in 2008, and that Latinos and African Americans would vote as they did in 2008. Again, to put this in context, imagine if a white Republican president got up in midterm elections, speaking as a president, not as a candidate, and said to the nation, "Now look, you helped us, all of you older white males, you really helped us make a difference here. And we really need your vote again. So we're appealing in particular to the whites and to the older whites, males, to come out and vote. That would make a big difference." Come on, that would be outrageous. So I bring this up to you to say, don't be manipulated. You step back and you prayerfully vote based on issues, not based on somebody pushing a button, pushing a race card, pushing a generational card, a gender card, whatever it is, all right? And if you want to take issue with me, feel free to call. If you want to claim that I'm the one pulling the race card, go ahead, give me a call. I'll tell you you're wrong, but give me your perspective. I'll take it. If you agree with me, you can call in and vent a little as well. And again, my sentiments are, my prayerful hope is that Mr. Barack Obama would be the greatest president in the history of the United States, and that he and Michelle would do more to dignify the White House and the American people than any presidential couple we've ever had. That's my prayer. God, do it. I believe that would be wonderful, and I would rejoice. I don't see it going that way. I see it going quite the opposite way, which deeply concerns me. But I wanted to raise it because I think it's grievous. And I think it's important that we as believers do not divide over these issues of race, gender, generation. That we are united in Jesus and we're united in the truth of the word. And we can have different political views on different issues and we're never going to see everything the same, and nor should we see everything the same. But don't let anyone divide you, friends, over race. All right? Fair enough? Okay. Let's get to a lighter note, but I'm willing to talk this through, though. All right, I'll take some calls, and I will talk this through. 866-34-TRUTH. On a lighter note, I'm always looking for opportunities to share my testimony. And it's a little unique in that I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus, so most of the world not being Jewish, so that makes it slightly unique, although there are plenty of Jewish believers in Jesus. And then it's from LSD to PhD, which among those of us that got saved, Jewish believers that got saved late 60s, early 70s, there are a bunch of us with similar testimonies, but it's a little bit more unique in that way. But what makes it even more unique, and every testimony is unique because we're distinct individuals saved by the Lord, but what makes it even more unique is that when I was, before I was saved, I never had a cup of coffee in my life. Had a sip, didn't like it, never drank it. And I never smoked a cigarette, puffed one puff, didn't like it, never smoked. And I did all these drugs, including shooting heroin and cocaine and the whole gamut before the Lord saved me in 1971. To this day, I've never smoked a cigarette or had a cup of coffee. So, excuse me, often that's an entree That's a way in for me, as maybe I'm flying and they come by with coffee or something like that, and no thanks, I've never had a cup in my life. That often leads to my testimony. Well, today, when I had an eye exam, you get your eyes dilated at the end so that they can really look in and see carefully if there are any issues. And, well, looking in the mirror and seeing how dilated my eyes were, I said, boy, I don't remember them looking like that since my drug days. Well, that was an opportunity to testify. You know, certain drugs would dilate your eyes. Others would make them like pinpoints. Well, a few years back, sometime within the last 7 years, we got life insurance. For the first time, we're going to take out a life insurance policy for me for Nancy's benefit in case anything happened to me before I turned 70. And a paramedic had to come to the house and just ask a few questions and get a few bits of information, health information, weight, different things like that. So there's this questionnaire she's got to go through, just technicality. Have you ever suffered this, this, this? No, 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 no. Family history, this? No, 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 no. Okay, fine. She goes, I just got to ask you these other questions here. You know, did you ever use drugs? Uh-huh. That was quite straightforward. She's like, oh. And it was an amazingly detailed list. I mean, amazingly detailed. Marijuana? Yes. Hashish? Yes. Barbiturates? Yes. Amphetamines? Yes. I mean, this whole list. Hallucinogenics, LSD, mescaline. I'm talking about detailed list and everything on the, yes, 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 yes. Well, as we're getting cocaine, heroin, she's actually starting to shake. I see her shaking visibly as we're talking. And, you know, drink, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she said, the date of last use. I said, December 1771. She goes, oh. She said, you know the date? I said, yeah, it's kind of a well-known story, actually. She said the most anyone would ever admit to that she's ever interviewed, even people she knew were absolutely not telling the truth, the most they would ever admit to was occasional pot smoking. You know, most recent, couple weeks ago, something like that. So I said to her, what would you rather that I told you? I've been smoking pot for 40 years, including up until a couple weeks ago, or I haven't had any drugs or liquor of any kind in 30, however many years it was at that point. But she got a little panicky there at one point. Okay, update I want to give you. Tomorrow, don't forget, all my Mormon friends listening, especially throughout Utah, but all over America, and all of you with family members, friends, coworkers who are Mormon, tune in for a special broadcast tomorrow. I'll be interviewing Dr. James White about Mormonism. Is Mormonism Christianity? Is it a true church? Do Mormons worship the same Jesus as others do? Does the Bible hold the same authority to them? Do they worship the same God? Are they saved the same way? I'll be interviewing Dr. James White about this, asking him some probing questions, and taking calls. If you're a Mormon listener, you've got a friend that's a Mormon, great time to call in. If you take exception to something that Dr. White says, he will be more than glad to talk to you about it directly. If you've got questions, if you're confused, if you yourself are not sure what's true or not, what's the true church or not, by all means, tune in tomorrow and listen. Okay, from Israel, something really interesting. If you've been to Israel, you know it's a pretty secular nation. If you've been to Israel, you know that you go to Tel Aviv, and it's a very, very worldly city. I mean, you got the same promiscuity, the same drug use, other things that you find in other major cities in the world. Israeli young people are as lost as other young people in much of the world today. But you also have something unique there, not just the fact that you have a certain portion of the population is very, very religious, which is true. But you also have a certain appreciation for the Bible, even throughout the nation. I've got a fascinating quote from the Prime Minister of Israel about the Bible and fascinating story about Bible quiz in Israel when we come back. Stay with us. Back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Is the president playing a dangerous race card, a divisive card generationally, a divisive card in terms of gender, simply to try to win votes for the Democratic Party in the fall. That's how it sounds to me. It concerns me. It grieves me. If you listen regularly, as I said at the outset of the show, you know I'm not some conservative right-wing talk show host who just gets on every day and bashes the administration. I'm measured in my comments. I normally raise things when I feel that they are of greater kingdom importance. Of course, everything relates to God's kingdom, but greater moral issues that I feel must be addressed. And that's how it is today. This is very grievous to me. And I again want to urge you, women, so I'm going to speak directly now, women, young people, Latinos, African Americans, do not be manipulated by statements like what you're about to hear. If you agree with the policies of the administration, Democratic Party, then you vote for them. If you disagree, you don't. But don't let anybody manipulate you by things like this. I played this earlier, but in case you missed it, let me play it again. Like I said, I'm reluctant to play things that I know get a lot of play on secular airwaves or conservative airwaves, but I felt this was important and couldn't be avoided. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884.
It will be up to each of you to make sure that the young people, African Americans, Latinos, and women who powered our victory in 2008 stand together once again.
That's wrong. That is wrong. Dead wrong. For the President of the United States to do that, wrong. I don't care if he's black, yellow, red, white, blue, green, orange, male, female, young, old. That's wrong. That's divisive. That's manipulative. And it's not what a president should be doing. I think I've made myself clear. All right. Back to Israel. Let me read a report that I got to Western ears. A Bible quiz may sound like a pleasant diversion for children in a Sunday school, or if on a national level, it might inhabit the same realm of our thoughts as does a national spelling bee. Yet in the land of the Bible, such an event inhabits a much higher place of respect, and as it has been doing for 47 years. So for 47 years, there's a national Bible quiz, which is a major event in the nation, even though most Israelis are not religious. Good 75% of the nation is not religious, fairly secular, you would say. And yet, Bible quiz is a major event. And the comments surrounding it when it makes its way into the news may well warrant our attention as intercessors. Last week on Independence Day, the International Bible Contest took place in Jerusalem. From 12,000 Israeli students taking part in the quiz, along with thousands more from abroad, Avner Netanyahu, the 15-year-old son of our prime minister, placed third. First prize went to 17-year-old Or Ashual of Kfar Saba, and Eldad Nachshon of Rehovot placed second. Nachshon and Netanyahu's placings marked the first time in decades that the finalists have included students from non-religious schools. In the past, the religious world, religious Jews, felt this is a quiz for religious only, and it's not for the non-religious, but the door is open now. So check this out. Among the comments made to the 15 finalists on the eve of the contest and immediately subsequent to it by a proud Benjamin Netanyahu, we find these significant. Quote, this is the Prime Minister of Israel speaking. And Israel has certain moral values that make it stand out from much of the Middle East, certain ethics that make it stand out from much of the Middle East, certainly democratic values that make it stand out from much of the Middle East, but Israel remains a fallen nation in need of the mercy of God. Very secular, very worldly, very lost, and then the very religious are very hostile to the gospel, which makes these comments all the more encouraging. The Prime Minister said this, whoever reached this point is a Bible champion. One cannot get here without investing yourselves and delving into the stories themselves. We are in the process of encouraging and strengthening Bible studies. This is the idea that we are applying within Israel, and I'm happy it's also being discussed abroad. It is important that you learn Bible and that you think about it day and night. Continue to study even after the competition. David Ben-Gurion said that the foundation of our existence here is the Bible. I was brought up learning the Bible. So are my brothers. The Bible is again becoming the book of books for all Israel. Jerusalem is the city of the Bible, and the Bible is the book of life. It is the story of the people of Israel's life. Be blessed and bring a light to the nations. That is great to hear from the Prime Minister of Israel. May there be a turning to the scriptures within the land. All right, let me go to the phones. Dale here in North Carolina, thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. The point I wanted to make is I hear a lot of white people, men and women, speaking about playing a race card as if race, when I hear the word card, I'm thinking about a game. And race isn't a game, nor is it something that has suddenly disappeared because we have a black president in the White House. However, I would truly appreciate it. Well, to tell you the truth, it seems like every time I turn around, there's a criticism of what the president's policies are, what his suggestions are, or even whatever kind of language he uses in order to campaign for other people. I don't think what he's saying is any more divisive. He's trying to basically put out feelers to his electorate base as the same way Republicans, conservative, or whomever else would do the same thing. No, and it's not the same thing if a Republican, conservative, if you will, were to make a serious appeal and say, hey, you white guys. He doesn't have to say that. This whole country was founded on the principle that of white superiority. And I'm not saying that it's still that way now. It's not the law anymore. But race as an issue has not disappeared. There are times when it's legitimate to bring it up, and there are times when it's not.
Let me just jump in. I fully agree with you that our nation's history is horrifically blemished. And I was just preaching this past Sunday at a multiracial church in Indianapolis, and I made the comment, when was America ever a Christian nation?
Thank abomination. You.
Yeah, and I've said that for years. it's an outrage that we think like, we just had the little problem of slavery and then the annihilation of the American Indians, but we're a great Christian nation.
I'm sorry. That is so funny. I say that all the time. My brother-in-law, who also happens to be my pastor, brought that up in service Sunday at how horrific it is that people would actually judge you according to the color of your skin, how you part your hair, what color your eyes are, as if any of that is truly important.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you said what you just said.
Oh, yeah, and that's my heart on this. And so that's why my concern, Dale, is that these types of statements make the racial issues more pronounced and are divisive. In other words, if there was actually a wrong attitude towards our president because he was black, that I talk about. Tell you what, if you can stay on through the break, I want to keep talking to you. If not, try to call back because I want to hear more from you. But thanks, Dale. We'll take this up some more. I want to stimulate discussion. If I've got a blind spot, show me. If you've got one, I'll show you, and we'll help each other see better. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Excuse me, we've been asking the question today, did the president make a racially divisive statement by, excuse me, in particular calling on Latinos, young people, women, and African Americans to come out and vote in 2010? I preface my comments, which I did feel that it was racially divisive and gender divisive and generationally divisive, by saying that I'm not a conservative talk show host, that I'm very careful to say I don't put much trust in the political system in general, and that my prayer is that Mr. Obama would be the greatest president in American history, yet I have grave differences with his policies and get concerned when racially divisive statements are made. And Dale was kind enough to hold through the break. And Dale, you've got a different take on this, which is why I bring the issue up on talk radio so we can talk about it. So my question was, do you feel that speaking like that can be divisive as opposed to unifying?
Actually, it can be, but I don't think that that's what our president is doing. What I said earlier is kind of gets under my skin a bit, that every time he opens his mouth, he's being criticized. And I'm not speaking about you, to be honest with you. You're one of the few talk show hosts on this particular station that I don't mind listening to. I respect your opinion. I do think you're, and I hate using this term, fair and balanced. I've been called a liberal. And actually, I think you posed on your show the question whether or not one could be Christian and liberal. I think it's possible, just like someone can be conservative and liberal. You and I actually agree on a lot of issues. We have the same opinion on some issues, but this is one that we differ.
Hey, well, hey, Dale, first, I appreciate the gracious words towards me, and I don't want to be too balanced. I mean, if I'm too balanced, then I'm not controversial enough. I'm joking with you. But let me just throw this one thing out for you. I think it all depends who you listen to.
Uh-huh.
In other words, when President Bush was in office, there were people attacking him day and night from one side, and then another side defending him. And then with President Obama, and it just kind of switches, you know. So, like, if you're listening to, say, the CNN kind of side, it'll be more pro-Obama, more anti-Bush, or the MSNBC. If you're listening to Fox, it would be more anti-Obama, pro-Bush. But I think, though, that we have so much divisiveness in general in our nation that whatever we can do as believers, which is why I bring it up, and that's why our conversation is very healthy, sir. Can do as believers to listen to each other, learn from each other, sharpen each other, and not get pulled into racial issues or racial divisiveness, all the better. And that's what the only reason I bring it up, because I'm very committed to moving us forward in this discussion. So last word to you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do believe what the president is actually doing is appealing to those who have traditionally been disenfranchised. And I don't have to name those groups. You already did. The president did in the excerpt you played from one of his speeches. I do, however, feel as though, once and for all, to be honest with you, I'd appreciate it if our country would actually have a civil conversation about race. Not saying that will be the end-all and be-all and we'll never have to pick it up again, but we've never, ever had an honest and truthful discussion in that regard. Like I said, I'd like to see it done one day, and to be honest with you, I'd like to see our country move closer to God. People did it originally come over here for religious freedoms, but the vast majority, you said it already, the country was stolen. We have a slave background. And to be honest with you, and I'm going to throw this out here and I'll be done, I've been racially profiled since I was 17 years old. I am a law-abiding citizen. I guess I'm what you would call middle-aged now, and not much has changed since I was a teenager.
So, you know, we've just got a break. That's why I'm jumping in.
Sure.
But I'll say this, Dale. I'm always sensitive to the fact that I don't see the world through other people's eyes because I have my own upbringing experience, good experiences, bad experiences, which is why I do my best to listen, and I'll speak out on what I believe, but in the same process I want to listen. And I thank God for the great things in our history, and I grieve over the ugly things. Hopefully we can have some of the good conversation here. But bless you, Dale. Thanks for calling. Dave, hang in there. We'll get your call on the other side of the break. Friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast today, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Remember, tomorrow, Dr. James White and I will be talking about Mormonism. Is Islam closer to the truth than Mormonism? Is Mormonism the true faith and Christianity a false faith? Does the Bible have the same role among Mormons as it does among followers of the Scriptures, followers of Jesus, born-again Christians? We'll talk about that tomorrow. So Mormon friends listening, those that agree with the Mormon Church, those that differ, those with family and friends, great opportunity to call in, get your questions answered. That'll be tomorrow here on the Line of Fire. We're asking if our president's recent comments were racially divisive. Had a great conversation with Dale a few moments ago. Let's try to get to a couple more calls. Dave in North Carolina, thanks for calling.
Dr. Brown, great show as always. You really have a phenomenal radio show, and I wish more people knew about it.
Thank you, sir.
A couple of statements. Number one, I tend to agree with you, and I know people try not to make it a race issue, but if you look at the fact that 90% of black Americans voted for President Obama, it is a race issue. And, you know, I know they're proud that he's a black American. I'm a Latino, and I also have been, you know, I mean, obviously with all the laws, especially in Arizona right now, you know, my race, my culture is heavily, I think, biased against. Also, the fact, one thing I disagreed with you on is that America is a Christian country, and it was founded on Christian principles. And I as far as the liberal and being a Christian, it's going to would have to depend, I think, on how liberal you were. But I just want to say that I agree with your original statement, and I'll take any comments off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much, Dave. One thing to be clear, we were in many ways founded on Christian principles or Judeo-Christian principles, and there's much in our history that's Christian, which is why I said at the end, I thank God for the great things in our history and grieve over the ugly things, because through much of our history, our conduct as a nation has certainly not been Christian. But thank you, Dave, for the calls and the comments in particular about the situation facing Hispanics today. And that's something we need to talk about in terms of the immigration concerns, how that affects the Hispanic populace as a whole in America. All right, one more call. Jeff in Utah, a little short on time, so please dive right in, sir.
Okay. I tuned in late, so I don't know what other comments were, but all one has to do is ask themselves, and I wasn't a great fan of George, but the question is if George Bush had said something about white people and young people and men, what would have happened?
I think
that's really the... All right, bye.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks. Hey, Jeff, thank you for getting straight to the point. It's always good when you're looking at something to do your best to put yourself into someone else's shoes. And in the midst of an argument or a doctrinal dispute or whatever it is, to say to the other person, do I get you right? Do I properly understand this is your concern, this is your point? First, say it back to the person in your own words. And if they say, yes, that's my concern, now at least you know you're hearing each other. Then do your best to see it from their perspective. And sometimes the best way to do it is to shift things around. Shift the people, shift the scenario, fill in the blanks differently, and see how it plays out. I know there are all kinds of sensitivities that are out there, which is why I bring these issues up. And I'll say again, all of us, no matter how sincere we are, have blind spots. So let's listen to each other. Let's hear one another. And let me say to everyone, whatever your background, race, color, do not be manipulated by anyone, by me, by the president, by anyone. Stand back, prayerfully consider what's right and wrong, and as it comes time for elections later this year, vote accordingly. And let's all join in prayer for God to get hold of our national leaders, turn their hearts to him so that righteousness may reign. Tomorrow, Dr. James White talking about Mormonism right here on the Line of Fire.